We're recording. We're talking about compensation now. Compensation, which we should first remember is a composite picture. It involves both pay that employees get, and it also includes benefits. So compensation, as we are going to...
some rude picture back.
Never get it.
So we're talking about compensation, and it should be split into, in my opinion, because employees get benefits, it's a compensating factor, and of course, money in some format. And from the point of view of the employee, what we're seeing here is an exchange. So we have the employer and the employee making an exchange. The employee is bringing their time and labor to the picture, and they're getting something from the employer. This exchange here, of course, is subject to substantial perceptual biases and errors, such that the employee looking at the pay, the employee looks at the pay and has a response to it. The employer is looking at this pay and gauging how much they have to give to the employee to get the response they want. More on that later. So this is a mutual exchange subject to the particular perceptions and biases that are held by each of the players in this exchange. Of course, this whole relationship here, based on money, isn't the only thing that a person gets out of the job. There are also intangibles here that we really have limited, but some, control over. What else do you get from, for example, being the having a job? What else is in this job besides money and benefits?
You can buy what you want. Experience. You get to eat.
That comes from the money, though, but I think if you go once...
Like maybe the thought that you take care of your family with the job?
So we're talking about job security.
Oh.
So we have the idea of security, and it certainly hits home to you when you have your first and maybe second, et cetera, rugrats, and you automatically start becoming very concerned. Jody and I were hippies in upstate New York, living in a self-made house and wandering around and occasionally getting a job living off a very small trust fund. But it was enough for us until the first little rugrat wormed his way into our hearts and lives. Then I had to go out and get a job. But it was worth every minute of it. So we have this idea of security here. What else do you get out of a job?
Experience.
Pardon? Sure, you get experience, which you can either use there or parlay for some sort of promotion at another job. I had a friend, Checky Tan Dev, an Indian guy, pretty cool. He and I played squash constantly, Virginia Tech. I don't know if he studied any more than I did, but we played a lot of squash together. Did he constantly beat me? Yeah, close to it. But he had finished up with a PhD in hotel hospitality management. Virginia Tech, one of the few schools that does that, had a choice of four schools he could go to: Hawaii, San Diego, Cornell, and some other school that doesn't fit my story, so we'll leave them out. So, Checky had the opportunity to go for Hawaii, San Diego, and Cornell. Talk to me about what those schools had to offer aside from money.
Reputation like
Cornell. You got the reputation. What's Hawaii got?
Hawaii's got good weather.
Good weather. Sunshine dollars, right?
And lots of tours.
And they also got Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Have you been?
I
want to go.
Nah, I haven't been. I don't want to.
I've never been to Hawaii, but if I went, I'd go to Pearl Harbor.
If you go, you need to come get some Maui Jim sunglasses for me. Not the same without.
Okay.
I work
on commission. Okay. So what else? And what's San Diego had sort of a mix.
San Diego
of these two. Yeah.
What's the word?
Weather. This is late in the semester. W-E-A-T-H-E-R. It's all right there. Every little squiggle, just sort of rearranged in a somewhat artistic fashion due to my somewhat bohemian orientation toward life. All right, so what we have here then is sort of extra stuff. So where did Checky go, do you think?
Hawaii.
Here's the, well, let me tell you what the money was. Cornell, at the time, $38,000. This was, you know, almost 30 years ago. San Diego, somewhere around 45,000, I think.
A year?
Yeah. And then Hawaii was like maybe 40. I'm just guessing. I can't remember. But that's sort of the general idea. Where do you think he went? Remember now, he's Indian. Because?
Money. Smart school.
The money's low, see?
Reputation.
What did he do with that reputation?
Get a job.
He went out. No, he was working there. He went out and did what with that reputation?
Shopped himself around.
Shopped himself around to do what?
Business with C.
My friend, Checky Tan Dev, my squash partner, right, went to Cornell for $38,000. Now, you would think of Indian folks as being, you know, concerned about the money and this and that. That wasn't what he went there for. He didn't care that it was low money. Why did he go to Cornell?
It's a prestigious
school that he turned into
cash.
Consulting gigs, right? So he was consulting with restaurants, consulting with all these big places. I saw him in the Wall Street Journal. He would show up every couple of months in the Wall Street Journal. Checky Tan Dev, professor of hospitality management, says that the travel industry will, in the next 2 months, whatever. So he told me that within 1 year, he was earning more on consulting than he was on his job. Pretty interesting. Smart guy.
Well, I mean, most people that go to schools like that, if you look at the top earners, you know, you got Mark Zuckerberger, every citizen man, dropped out of Harvard. You got Bill Gates, dropped out of Harvard. You got whatever that guy.
I thought you dropped out of Harvard.
You got Jeremy Fox.
Yeah, I dropped out too. Years ago. Somewhere along the line. So anyway, my point is here that this, you know, this kind of thing offers a lot more than just money and benefits that you can build your own situation with.
It's the connections you make.
And the connections that you make. There's absolutely no doubt about it. All right. So, do we have little, if any, control over this stuff in the direct aspect of exchanging with employees. So basically, I won't talk about this, but it's something that companies use in place of dollars quite often, which is what Cornell was doing. They were paying low because the prestige was valuable to incoming professors. All right, so we're looking here at this compensation picture then. Benefits themselves separate out into two components. We have required benefits, and we have voluntary benefits. Okay, and then the money, which is this exchange here, sort of separates itself out into, well, just pay and contingent pay.
What was the other benefit?
Well, this is just required and voluntary benefits. You know, you have required benefits like Social Security. You got to pay it, right? The company has to pay it. But then they also have voluntary benefits like various health care plans and the like, which used to be voluntary, though now becomes more required. Where, over here?
Yeah.
Contingency pay, like, you know, you get paid based on the number of sales you have, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's what you need to get back.
And then pay, cash, exchange. So voluntary benefits, which used to cover health care, but now sort of are required by government through the ACA, voluntary things are, you know, I don't know, parking, legal fees, and all kinds of other good stuff that people can get. All right, so this is all part of this exchange process here, including this, but we don't have much to do with this other stuff. It's just there. In terms of the weather, for example, what can you do? Not much. So, let's talk about this. But before we go on, I need to talk to you philosophically about pay. Pay is very, very much a component of the organization's strategy. If you're moving from point A to point B, pay is a strong strategic tool. And I want you to think about why it's that way. If you're moving here, and you want to bring in, this is HR here, you have to get to the goal. This is the HR strategy to get to the goal. We know what kind of employees we need out here. And so what we're doing here is bringing in people or training people to help us achieve our strategy to the goal. Okay, but in this situation, as we make this move from time one, time two, the goal, we're using a number of different things to do. We're promoting employees and training within. We're hiring from outside in the relevant labor market, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But as you start to consider pay as a strategic tool, you want to think about pay in the way I'm about to tell you. Pay has to be seen in this fashion. Here's the company looking at pay. Here's the employee that you're hiring is also looking at pay. If they look at the pay and they feel happy about the pay, what's going to be their what's going to be their relationship with the company? Okay, but what do you mean by good? It's too vague a term.
Be more inclined to work hard and be part of the company as opposed to
and probably stay. Okay. So what we have here is an emotional response. Emotional response to pay. How about if the pay is crappy? What's going to be their response?
Generally negative.
Pardon?
Generally negative.
Generally negative, but how is that going to translate to an action? What are the actions that are come out from that? What?
Lazy.
They may not work. They may sit behind the packing crates and hope nobody sees them for days on end. They may leave the organization, or they might do nothing until they get fired, and then they're gone. So they have an emotional reaction. The emotional reaction is linked to a behavior, and that's what I need you to remember. Behavior is not free-floating. Behavior is driven by an emotional response. The emotional response is created by the pay that you offer. You have to think about pay in this fashion. What? Yes? Yeah, what's up, Trey? I thought you had a question. I was excited. Okay. So we have this emotional response to pay. That emotional response yields a reaction. And the reaction that the person has to pay must, and indeed must be aligned with strategic aims and goals of the organization. So the pay that you set in place, the benefits that you set in place, have to be examined in terms of the employee's emotional response to whatever it is you're exchanging for their labor and time. Their emotional response yields an action, and the action is what's important. Does the person want to stay and work hard, or do they say, this really isn't any good, I'm going to quit in a week or two and have a better option? At what point would a company want an employee to say that? That when you're going to pay them a low amount of money and they're going to quit after a few weeks or whenever they can find another job. And the company uses that as a strategic tool. that exact relationship. Low pay, I hate the pay, I'm quitting. That's a strategic for what kind of an organization, or at least what kind of oriented organization.
HR.
What's the nature of the HR philosophy there in terms of a strategic move? Are there such organizations? Have you ever worked for a company where the pay was crappy and you felt like leaving pretty soon?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of a place was it?
Retail.
Yeah, and why were you expendable?
Because you don't have to have any knowledge.
And how hard would it be for them to replace you?
Not hard.
Not hard at all. So what they're looking for here is a competitive advantage by paying you crap. You leave and they replace you with somebody else that's willing to work for a short period of time for crappy pay. What's that called? That's called labor-intensive industries, where labor is an important component of the final price of the goods or service. And when that's the case, companies try to be competitive by keeping their pay low and rolling employees over. It's just the nature of their strategy. Do I agree with it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I hear you on the no. Is there something to be gained by paying more and getting better employees? Maybe. It's a great topic to talk about philosophically. But the majority of companies, and I encourage you to do this myself even, to make sure that what you're offering for pay and the emotions that's in the employee's heart and the behavior that stems from that are aligned with corporate goals or the organizational goals. And do not, I emphasize, do not substitute in your own philosophy about this situation, about how wonderful the pay is, they should just be happy that they have a job, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Don't substitute in your opinions. Find out, if you have to, through employee surveys, what the employees are feeling about their pay. Just because they hate their pay doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. If you're following a low pay model. Yeah, Trey, what were you going to say?
My brother's in the Army.
Uh-huh.
And the other day he posted something about how people that work at McDonald's are demanding to get paid more.
Mm.
And he was like mad. He was like, they already get paid more than us per hour and they're asking for more pay. And I was like, but he got mad at me too. But if you look at America, and if you look at yourself, who's the one that's given them the point for argument about how much they get paid? And I was like, if you think about it, you know, more people at McDonald's get paid a lot, but you eat at McDonald's every time it's convenient.
He goes out and sacrifices his time,
freedom
for the country.
I know. He gets paid. Paid like crap. They always have been, too. Especially the grunts. Think about it this way, along this same line. Does the average person on any given day think more about the military or more about McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Sure.
See, and that's why people at McDonald's are saying, hey, we need to get paid more because that's
what
they're
saying. They're easily replaced.
They're easily replaced.
People
but
people that work at McDonald's expecting to have a career out of it, too. McDonald's and those types of places are poor for... Yes,
except that in Denmark, did you read this already? Denmark, they pay in $20 an hour in Denmark at McDonald's. $20 an hour. People have middle-class jobs living there. Good health care, good everything, because the government requires it. Hey, do they still make money there? Yes, they do. Hey, are things a little more expensive at McDonald's? Slightly more expensive. So instead of spending whatever, it's amazing that people spend this kind of money for that crap. $5.25 for a Big Crap, is that what it's called? Big Crap? No, Big Mac, I'm sorry. instead of spending $5.25 for a Big Crap, they pay $5.65.
Their patties aren't even on meat. Half of it's like cellulose, which is wood. And for all of y'all that did not know that.
I
not even on meat.
My dad
dad paid $40 for a hamburger when he went down.
But that's kind of thing that you got to do once. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like you can get a hamburger that has gold flecks on it. You got to do it at least once. Jesus, yeah.
I was going to say, with the tax rate, though, in Denmark, like, even though they're getting paid $20 an hour, isn't like...
But they have a middle-class job. But sure, the tax rate's high. What do they do with the money? They provide all kinds
yeah.
of goods and services.
See, there you
go there sometime and just experience it.
I agree.
It's incredible.
No.
What?
I just say that, like, the whole problem with the whole, like, stepping stone idea for some place like McDonald's, where it's like, oh, it's not made for, like,
the
more
good
people or anything like that. And oftentimes, places where you'll find a McDonald's and places where there's not easy access to education. If it is education, it's not very good.
Mm.
People have a harder time getting ahead, and they're living in impoverished areas. And so it's kind of like, you know, the minimum wage there, you know, maybe that's the best job that they can get in their area.
Yeah.
They need to get, and they have to be able to afford
that. The stepping stone doesn't ever seem to step anywhere.
Yeah, except to the, from
Well, from the cash register to the cardiac area of the hospital, right? They can have your heart worked on before it gets plugged up with special sauce. Okay, so let's keep in mind, without getting lost, what I'm harping on here, because there are very few, if any, managers who think about pay in this way, and they should. They should think about the pay that they're offering, think about the employee's emotional response, and then the employee's actions. The employee says, I hate the job, I quit, or I love the job, I'm staying. That should be aligned with how the company sees their strategic goals to be achieved. Now, I will grant you that, in my opinion, that I think that I could pay $20 an hour to McDonald's and have it pay off, but that's just me. But whatever. For the time being, the average manager is an idiot, and so they control all of these things the way you would think they do. I can't get any, can't make any money, so I have to not pay any employees, et cetera. One time, I was at the, this was years and years ago, and I must have had somebody working with me at the time. He said, I want to go to the one on the corner there where you turn in and you run into the back of the car that's turning into the parking lot. Bojangles. So, that's the only way I can remember. It's right there, you know, like we call it colon cancer corner. I went in there and parked, and I go to the door, I open the door, the door's locked. The door to the restaurant at 10:30 or 11, whatever it was, is locked. And everybody's in there working away, so I walked around to another door, finally found an open door, and went in. I said, well, what's the deal on that door over there? I looked over at the door. Above the door, it says, keep open during work hours, right? And the thing's locked. There's a manager there. I can't go any further with the discussion. It just proves my point. The average manager is an idiot. Okay, so what we have here is can't keep the damn door of the restaurant open. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It says they're hiring management right now, so maybe they
get maybe they get a pick up for that guy. We need somebody who can unlock the door. All right, so keep this in mind as we continue on with our discussion about pay. Yes, Dr. Fox, we will. How do you think about pay? If I were to draw you here, and you're looking at your pay, how do you think about it? Go ahead. Bring this in from yesterday. Just want to let somebody were here. Yeah. Go. Talk to me about how you look at your pay. How do you make a judgment about your pay?
How much work you have to do for the amount of money you get?
I don't care how long you work.
The responsibility that you pay.
Ooh.
Can you
But how do you, what's the relevant other? You know, there's a bunch of food on the table, you pick something up and none of you recognize. So you pick up one of them and you take a bite out of it. How do you decide if that's good and whether you want to eat all of that or not? You've never had, well, you just know, but compared to something else. Thank you. So what we're looking at here then is the idea of you looking at your pay and make a comparison to something else in your mind, right? And in your mind, we're looking at this equity theory consideration. You had it in OB, so I'm just digging it back out of the ground for you. You're looking at your outputs or comes, however you want to use the word here, outcomes versus inputs. Outcomes versus inputs.
Separate pay.
Well, it's for anything, really. If this, you know, in a class, you completely busted your gut to try and do well in a class, and you got a C minus, right? You're looking at this inputs of work, the outcomes you don't feel good about until you look at what?
Your final grade.
What everybody else is getting. All of them worked just as hard as you and got a grade much worse than yours. You got a C minus. They were happy to get an F plus, right? So what's the deal? Are you now feeling better about it or worse? Better, of course. So my point is here, we're looking at relevant pay based on your view of equity theory.
Yeah.
Isn't there like positive equity too, though? Where like you're
feel like you're overpaid. The research on overpay is weak. I was saying that the other day.
Yeah.
So what we have here then is, let's say you're getting all kinds of good stuff and you put very little into it. The question is, do you work harder to make that extra pay?
Worth it?
You're getting $10,000 a week working at McDonald's. Are you going to work extra hard and turn out even a better hamburger and a smoother milkshake and more deeply fat-saturated French fries? Are you going to do that?
Yes.
Just to make sure that you're earning the money?
Yeah.
Or are you going to run out to your car on Friday and say, I'm the happiest person alive, floor the thing and never go back? Or maybe you go back again,
depends,
get some more money. What's going to be your response? The research on this is very weak. So people don't know. My tendency is you just keep collecting it and never adjust your pay, your work.
Tony Rama makes what?
Don't bring these guys in. Oh, they already know they have low scores on their Wonderlic tests.
Yeah, Gilbert Reese made $23 million last year. He didn't play basketball games. He wasn't even on the team.
So what can I do? Gilbert's a lucky guy. All right, so on the other hand, if your pay is, your outcomes are low and your inputs are high, what are you going to do?
Quit.
You're going to reduce your... All right, so this is kind of a mechanism reflecting the emotional statement that I was talking about, a little bit more analyzed from Adam's equity point of view. All right, so keep these things in mind as we go on to talk about this stuff. You're making comparisons to what other people are getting quite often. Which is why, well, I mentioned to you, but didn't I mention this to you before when we were talking about pay increases? The last time we were here, I was talking about merit pay increases that you may have earned because of the performance appraisal. And I said even if you had 35 cents, you should split it up appropriately. Did I say that to you?
No.
I didn't? Well, I feel that way. Even if your unit has only 35 cents to split up over 10 employees, this is the extra merit pay that you're allowed by the organization. Not very much, right? Not very much, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so what we have here then is 35 cents. The typical manager will just cut that up and give everybody 3.5 cents. Do I agree with this? No, I do not. In my opinion, we should still look at the contributions these people make and allocate this 35 cents across these 10 people based on their contributions to the organization. Why? Because it's not just about money, it's about, pardon? It's incentive, but what makes it an incentive? What are you showing here if you spread the money out equally? Doesn't matter what you do, you're getting the same amount of money. On the other hand, if I spread out based on their value of their input to the organization, What am I showing? I recognize that these people are contributing more than others. And damn it, they're getting the 35 cents or a good proportion of it, yeah?
Is that kind of like the idea behind paying CFOs and like CEOs more than...
You know, this all gets into the whole discussion of what CEO pay should be. And about the top 10, the top 1%, the half of 1% that's gotten all the pay increases, or at least 80% of the pay increases over the last 20 years have gone to the 99.5th percentile. Everybody else has got no pay increase based on cost of living. Nobody. So, and that's an interesting ongoing discussion. Do I think that's motivational for employees? Yeah, it's motivational, but negatively motivational. They want to quit and move to Denmark or wherever. And I don't blame them. But in any case, so my point is here, we're looking at this pay picture that I'm about to start talking to you about with an understanding of the emotional response to pay, not just the number. I want the emotional pay. All right, so let's talk about pay then. Now pay comes from, you can have hourly pay, obviously. You can have a weekly salary. Oh, by the way, do you know where the word salary comes from? This is one of those discussions you can have in the bar. Where's the word salary come from?
Salary.
If I start off like this, what word could I be spelling?
Salary.
Yeah, much shorter though.
Sale.
Salute.
You're on the right track, but only one more letter to add.
Saluted.
Salt.
What? Doc the Fox is off his rocker.
Right? Further off his rocker. All right, what's the deal here? Why does salary come from salt? Haven't you heard the expression?
Worth his
salt. Where's that come from? The Roman legions, all those years ago, often paid the folks in chunks of salt. And that's where the word salary comes from. Ain't that interesting? Dr. Fox, thanks for that tidbit of information. Sure! That's what I'm here for. We got salaries, right? And we'll talk about contingent pay separately. Now let's talk about this idea.
What?
Huh? Are we okay? Everybody's under control with salary, salt, et cetera? Okay, cool. All right. Now remember, we're thinking about emotional response and how employees form F-O-R-M. Their view of their pay. That's what we're talking about here. And remember, the company wants to set it in such a way that the view that employees have of their pay corresponds to a behavior which corresponds to helping the company get to their goals, whatever it happens to be, whatever that action happens. Should be aligned with company goal achievement. All right. Well, how do we do this? How do we create a pay for an employee that works to achieve what I'm just talking about, given that employees compare their pay to the relevant other?
Like, what is your?
I'm trying to think if that fits in, or should I just brush it off? I don't think it's pertinent. It's true they do, and I never know how to answer that. The last time I applied for a job 27 years ago, I just told them from what I'd seen in the Wall Street Journal. So when I started here, I just read a Wall Street Journal on what management professors were being paid, which at the time was $42,000. So I said, I want $42,000. So Dan World, my chair at the time, says, oh, you've been reading the Wall Street Journal, haven't you? I said, yep. He said, well, we won't have any problem with that. So that's like, very straightforward. My reference point was Wall Street Journal.
What? When are they commission based?
There is commission based on this too, but in general, what I'm trying to do is get to see how you would make your feelings about your pay. Who do you compare yourself to, let's say? If we're saying that you're comparing yourself to the relevant other inputs and outcomes, who are you comparing yourself to? Here are you on the job. There you are. You're looking at somebody. Hey, buddy, I'm looking at you. Hey, you looking at me? Yeah, I'm looking at you. This guy's looking at this guy or gal, as the case may be. Who is that person? Somebody said it already. Same job. That's a good start. So we have one. Same job. This is called employee. They all have names. Everything's got titles. Employee equity, because I'm looking at another employee doing the same job as I am. There's two more to go. No, that's who you look at now. Who are you looking at?
People above
same industry.
Same industry, but possibly... Okay, if it's the same industry, in terms of where's the employee? If you're talking about industry, are you talking about an employee inside of our company? That's employee equity.
No, I'm talking to other companies.
Other company employees, known as external equity. And... pretty much covered the base so far, but there are you looking at somebody else, and who else could it be? There's only one other person, there's several other, but there's only one other one that fits this discussion. So this could be somebody doing the same job, it could be somebody outside of my company doing the same job, or it could be somebody
the next job up from what you have.
Inside our company doing a different job. So I'm comparing myself then to this other, this is known as internal equity. This is same job, this is same job outside the company, and this is same company, but other jobs within the company. And these would be the relevant other that you would compare yourself to. And you can see the emotional motivating factors that come out of this. Let's say, for example, you are looking at the same job and you look at other employees doing that same job and you want to see what?
Same pay.
Pardon?
Same pay.
Not necessarily if you feel like you're contributing more. If you're contributing more, you certainly don't want them to have the same pay as you do. How about if you're doing less work? So from the point of view of the employee, what does that employee in this particular situation see, and then what do they do because of it? If they see themselves making less than someone else, and indeed that someone else is working harder, what might the employee do? Work harder themselves. Score one for our team. The management's happy with that arrangement. We'll pay you more if you work harder. How about if they think they're working hard, but they're getting a set amount of pay and they can't seem to move it up? What happens?
Stop working
as hard and probably get
frustrated.
Fired, yeah. I'm going to say shit can, but I did. Fired, right? They might get fired. Would the company be unhappy about that?
They don't care,
precisely. They've got to pay a certain amount, and that's all they want to pay. And if you can be Einstein rolled into Gandhi and still not get more pay. All right, because that's the way the company sees their relationship to their future goals. Okay. How about if you look outside the organization and you see somebody making more money than you? for the same amount of work in the same job. You could quit and go there. Does your company care?
Yes.
Possibly they do, particularly if they put money into training you. But they should also be aware that the company, if they're doing wage and salary surveys appropriately, they should be realizing that there are companies that are paying more. And they've set their position on how they pay. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And so they have to expect a certain amount of turnover if they've already set a lower level than what the competition offers. So they may not be happy with you leaving, but they have to chalk it up to what's expected. How about if you see that the people doing the same job as you are making less outside the company? More loyal to your company and more likely to take criticism and more likely to keep your nose pressed the proverbial grindstone, etc., etc. Because you don't want to get canned because you're not going to get as much money when you search for another job someplace else, having been fired from this job. See my point? All right, so this has to all, how these perceptions are played out in terms of action have to be thought about from the company level and how they structure their pay. Okay, and finally then, you look internally within the company. You know you're making X dollars an hour. You look internally. You see other people in jobs that are deemed to be a higher pay grade, let's call it that for the time being, or a lower pay grade. And you see that there is an appropriate difference. What's it going to inspire you to do? Or what? How are you going to feel, et cetera? The janitor makes $15 an hour. You in your job as the person that comes around with a rug cleaner and cleans all the rugs in the building, we have one of them here. They make $20 an hour, let's say, and the professors make 21. Okay. So, what does it mean to you? What are you as the janitor going to try and do?
Keep your job.
You're going to try and keep your job, or what? Pardon?
Train for
cleaning carpet. Sure, move up if you possibly can. Try to get more pay. Bring more value to the institution, etc. So you want an appropriate space there so that the employee stretches to bring value to the company. Whereas the professors who are making $21 an hour, that's obviously a lie, and the rug cleaners are making 20, what's going to be the impetus for the professors? Stop working so hard, worrying about publications, worrying about their students, worrying about service, blah, 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 and just drop back to cleaning carpets and smelling the carpet cleaner and getting high. What the hell? All right, so it's a, my point is that the spacing here of internal equity is extremely important to motivate employees to take on more responsibilities, et cetera, and move up in the organization. If you don't take these things into account, these equities, their pay system isn't going to be functional to the organization. So I need to talk to you about how this is put together. And we'll talk about it next time we're here. We'll talk about the equities next time we're here.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we still going to do one of those practice tests before the test?
We're going to do a practice test before the test. That'll be on the Tuesday, which will be the 11th.
What is this?
So. You got subsides.
Wait a second. Hang on.